Love and Light, this is Healthy Talk Show for Saturday, February 16th, 2019. I am Robert.
And I'm Marissa.
And I'm Haley.
Healthy Talk Show is a live weekly discussion of various topics relating to health. We stream live on Sundays, except for today because it's Saturday, at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 2300 UTC at healthytalkshow.com/live, with podcast versions available soon after over at healthytalkshow.com/subscribe, healthytalkshow.com/YouTube. That's our YouTube. Now, the big one, healthytalkshow.com/support. If you'd like to help support the show financially using PayPal or Patreon, is the show worth $5? What do you think, Marissa? I think today it will be. $5 cup of coffee.
That's worth it.
Yeah. I want cooking segments. I could show you how to make better coffee than you'll ever get at Starbucks, straight up. I need the cables.
That's true. We're trying to reach our goal of $300.
Yep. Value for value. We'll see. Tip us, however you do that on Twitch.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Rate us on iTunes. Email us, ask@healthytalkshow.com or healthytalkshow.com/discord. We're on there. We're trying to figure it out. Yeah. We're here with our guest, Haley. How are you?
Hi. Doing well. Doing very well. It's a gorgeous day considering it's been raining so much.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually very clear today.
Finally pretty.
Clear and sunny. And actually, the leak on... is right above your head.
I did see that.
It's perfect. It's meant to be. It's meant to be.
Hopefully.
I don't argue with the universe. The universe will provide value for value. Mind control. That's mind true. Control. It works. All right. Well, we have some headlines to talk about. One of them's hard hitting. And yep. So we'll just talk about them really quick.
Let's start with the lighter stuff first.
Yep. Gizmodo, life without the tech giants. A reporter, Kashmir Hill, did a little experiment to see if she could go without the tech giants. I actually have clips of this, her explaining it. So let's go ahead and it's not video, unfortunately. It's only audio. It's on NPR. Hey, thanks, NPR. No video. What's going on, NPR?
Yeah.
Freaking cheapskates.
Step up the
production. Yeah, step it up. Come on. You guys have nice studios.
Facebook and Google and Amazon have become tech giants because they've made a science of being a part of everything we do, from shopping to taking care of our kids to connecting with friends and relatives. Despite the scandals and concerns about their practices, modern life is seemingly impossible without them. Or is it? Kashmir Hill is a reporter for Gizmodo. She tried to cut Amazon, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Apple out of her life. And she joins us now to explain her experiment. Welcome.
Thank you.
I got to ask you, first of all, how did this idea come up?
It was inspired partly by, you know, when people are criticizing these companies or complaining about how powerful they are, how privacy invasive they are. People will say, well, if you don't like the company, then just stop using their products. And so I wanted to find out if that was possible.
Right.
And spoiler, it's not possible.
It's not possible.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Her conclusion that it's not possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have more. The dogs are going crazy. It's going to really stress me out. It's okay. It's not picking up through the mics.
Yeah, that's true. It's
okay. I have NPR Amazon.
Yeah, when I started pulling stats about Amazon, I was shocked that, you know, they control 50% of online commerce in the U.S. That seems like so much. The crazier thing is that's not their most profitable business. Their most profitable business is AWS, or Amazon Web Services.
I just wanted to throw that in there. Sorry.
Emphasis.
Because Amazon does control half of the internet or more. By estimates. So people always say, oh, we can't live without Amazon. They're always talking about the retail element, but no,
right.
We really can't live without Amazon just because they run half of
That's
the internet.
Wild.
Yeah. There's servers. Everyone's running their servers on Amazon AWS now.
Yeah, it's very
applications run on them on your phone. Everything runs on AWS.
But the whole article too is kind of weird because it's almost like she set herself up for failure.
Yeah.
And I think instead maybe they could have focused more on privacy and blocking these things from tracking you as much.
With a pie hole or something.
Yeah, instead of just trying to not use Windows and Apple, because that's really hard to do.
I have her conclusion. One more.
All right, let's
so
listen.
Now that you've sort of come out of this, what did you learn? And did it have any lasting impact on your relationship with these companies? And what can we take away?
I mean, the big thing I learned is that it's not possible to navigate the modern world without coming into contact with these companies. They are unavoidable. It made me certainly sympathetic to some of the critics who are saying that these companies are too dominant in their spaces. You know, when I went off of Facebook's products, because Facebook bought Instagram, it controls everywhere where my friends are. And so, by rejecting Facebook, I had to reject a lot of people in my life. And
sorry, friends and family, I'm rejecting Facebook. Thus, I'm rejecting you. That's her logic. She's drawing this logic in her head. Yeah. That's bad. That's unhealthy.
Don't we have cell phones?
Yeah, we have cell phones. You don't need Facebook to communicate. That's really weird.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to stay in contact with them. But there were certainly benefits to rejecting the tech giants because it forced me to reject technology completely in many cases. Like, I couldn't watch TV because we don't have cable and internet TV didn't work. And
over-the-air broadcast, FYI, free pretty much in any major metro. Put up an antenna on your TV. Give free over-the-air HD content, just FYI. Pro tip.
And I think that was really good for me. I got out of some bad tech habits and I'm just kind of looking at screens less. So if nothing else, I'm glad I did this experiment in terms of becoming kind of a healthier tech user.
It does not sound healthy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can only communicate with my friends and family when I have Facebook.
I need it.
It's so healthy.
That's
maybe you need to exchange some phone numbers and
addresses.
Oh my gosh.
Text messaging's pretty good. It works pretty well.
Yeah.
There's people who are weird like that though.
That
they get really offended if, you know, oh, you deleted me off of Facebook. Oh my god.
Yep.
I did that to my mom once because she's a little too snoopy in my life trying to, you know, tell me what to do as a 26-year-old. And it's been years since I did it. But when I first did it, she was really, really upset with me. How dare you take me off your Facebook? I'm like, Mom, you're my family. Like, you have my phone number.
Yeah, you don't need to be on my Facebook.
Pretty much no one, like maybe 3 or 4 people on my Facebook who have my phone number. You've got my number.
Exactly.
You can call me. I feel like that lady is on the same wavelength of logic as far as Facebook goes. Therefore, it just eliminates all connectivity whatsoever if you don't have Facebook.
That's bad.
That's so bad.
And we'll tell you why in one of our other stories today, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
Yes. New York Times. They've taken America's temperature and it's running hot. Data from Kinsa, I believe is the name of the company, which makes internet-connected smart thermometers, indicates a bad year for colds, but not the flu. Here's a video from them so we could watch this while we're talking about the story. Nearly 1 million American households use Kinsa Health's internet-connected thermometers, and they submit about 40,000 readings a day. Inder Singh, founder of the company, lots of people are sick, but they have colds, not the flu. The company made that conclusion based on how long fevers lasted. Typically, a cold's fever lasts only a day or two, while the fever that accompanies the flu lasts 3 to 7. The CDC had no comment, but they are interested in the data.
They're
interested in the thermometers and the maps generated. They want to know. They're saying, we're not going to comment on if it's accurate or not, but we want to see it. The CDC tracks flu season by collecting weekly reports from doctors about how many patients come in with flu symptoms and how many are hospitalized with it, so their data takes probably about 2 weeks to be accurate.
Yeah.
Kinsa gets fever data almost instantly.
Plus, that's dependent upon the doctor's reporting, and people may not report to their doctors, so in some ways, the Kinsa one is probably more accurate.
Yep.
But my question is, what are the privacy concerns?
There are a lot of them, and the app that the story went into, it can start making recommendations based on symptoms and what you have. And start identifying things.
Isn't that dangerous? And WebMD, what doctors always argue we shouldn't do
is
diagnose ourselves at home.
Self-diagnosing, for sure.
That's kind of the issue. Singh said the polar vortex slowed the flu down since schools were closed, but now it's shooting up again. Singh predicts the flu season's peaking right now.
Interesting.
According to Singh, that's it. Yep. Yep. That's an internet-connected thermometer that's tracking the flu.
And it was also surprising how cheap this was.
Yeah, over
that
here.
That did kind of blow my mind.
You would think, I was thinking $100 or something.
Right.
Usually with this cool medical tech, it's usually too expensive to even be interested in it.
Yeah.
But this is interesting. I don't know if this is Interesting.
Yeah, it's
I wonder if it
accessible.
Comes with Alexa enabled.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think?
Alexa, track my temperature.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I probably just triggered. Sorry.
Everybody. Yeah. Alexa, cancel. How's that? Yeah. Okay. I have two headlines that are contradictory, so I'm going to read them both. As always, I think they contradict each other.
Yeah.
Gizmodo, this year's flu vaccine is actually pretty effective, and it's not too late to get it. Gizmodo. CNN. This year's flu shot is less than 50% effective in preventing infection, CDC says.
What's the truth?
Why is CNN's... I don't understand. But yeah. They both conclude with saying that you still recommend it, blah, 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 because everyone always recommends a flu shot no matter what.
But
you make all these vaccines, you have to get rid of them.
Funny, too, is they have these sensationalized headlines, but it's about as effective as it usually is. So the CDC reports that every year the flu vaccine is about 40 to 60% effective.
Yeah.
So this is really pretty average, though. And, yeah. You know, it's hard for scientists to predict what strain of flu is going to be the most active.
So. Yeah, that's probably important to discuss briefly. That's,
yeah.
They're basically throwing darts at, you know, a board here. And they can only guess.
Right. And then the flu is evolving.
What the outbreak's going to be exactly. And the flu is always evolving and blah, 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 blah.
So that's
you can
what...
move your mic, by the way. You should be able to grab it. Just it should articulate that way.
Just
there you go. Like that.
Like that?
Yep.
Cool.
There you go. Don't be afraid.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
Don't be afraid.
All right. It's about as effective, though, as it is normally. So.
Yeah. It's get it or not. Roll it.
That's up
I think
to
that's
you.
Funny that it's a repetitive topic every year.
Yeah.
Like, it's how effective
it's the
is
same
it
thing.
This year?
Yeah.
It's like it's, the same thing.
You either get it or you don't.
Over
you know,
and over.
People.
Yeah.
We all just like to make a big deal about it every year, I guess, apparently.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's pretty much going to be about 50% effective every year.
Just
that's
always.
Honestly. Safely.
Yeah.
I could safely say that.
Take your chances.
All right. Here's a story that is going, we're going to go in depth with. And then we're going to talk to you about stuff.
Cool.
Ars Technica. Facebook, Google, CDC under pressure to stop anti-vax garbage from spreading. CNN. Amid measles outbreaks, Facebook considering how to reduce spread of anti-vaccine content. Facebook is looking into suppressing certain anti-vaccine messaging on its social platform, a move that raises questions about free speech and public health. On Thursday, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Andrew Schiff wrote open letters to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and CEO Google Sundar Pichai. He wrote to Zuckerberg, Facebook and Instagram are surfacing and recommending messages that discourage parents from vaccinating their children, a direct threat to public health, and reversing progress made in tackling vaccine-preventable diseases. Facebook spokesperson told Ars in an email, we've taken steps to reduce the distribution of health-related information on Facebook. But we know we have more to do. We're currently working on additional changes that we'll be announcing soon. Schiff referenced a recent Guardian article that searches on both Facebook and YouTube easily led users to anti-vaccine garbage. The Guardian, I have that article, how Facebook and YouTube help spread anti-vaxxer propaganda. And this was an article that was referenced in the letter, which we will pull up after Marissa talks about some things, because I have some things to talk about the letter. But Marissa looked at the study that this article cited, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay. So, are you on your screen?
Yeah, I'm on my screen. But so the thing to note with that Guardian article, it wasn't that scientific because it just said, oh, look, they found examples of this is anti-vax.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it cites this study. So we look at this study on my screen here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's by the Royal Society for Public Health.
Moving the needle. Promoting vaccine uptake across the life course. Sorry.
And so this study, so first of all, it was sponsored by MSD.
Who's MSD?
Well, I didn't know, and I looked it up. It's Merck. Merck is a drug company.
Oh, they're a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, so they,
oh, okay.
They have an
interesting. What an interesting twist.
Oh, that's not the best part.
Oh, that's not
though.
The best part.
So the next thing about this study is it was only of 2,000 people, and it was mainly white. So not a very good demographic.
Nope.
The study was done in the UK. But then they kind of just did this survey. Oh, so they also have here,
they isolated a Donald Trump tweet.
Yeah.
Come on. That's signaling.
Yeah. So
why? You don't have to do that. That's unnecessary.
And the thing is, in the study, there was never a clear thing that said, oh, did you read this tweet and that made you you know, not get a vaccine. Instead, if you give me a second to scroll down. They have barriers for accessing appointments for parents. This is like not a very good study because the whole thing adds up to over 100. So how many categories were they allowed to select? But the things that they found were timing, availability, childcare. Where is, you know, social media?
Yeah.
So they never actually address that, which is kind of weird.
Yep.
And so it's also funny. If you give me a second to scroll down.
Absolutely. It's a podcast.
So they talk about the MMR, how there was this whole shebang about how the MMR vaccine leads to autism.
Mm-hmm.
But this was by the Daily Mail. So it was actually the mainstream media which scared people more than Facebook, at least according to their own study.
In that study, the Daily Mail, they could be linking that to conservatism, too. I think the Daily Mail is conservative and also the Independent.
But it's still considered
mainstream. Yeah, absolutely. But they're relating it to conservatives.
Yeah, and they even said that there's...
But also, let's just be real, Hollywood celebrities are also anti-vaccine.
Yeah.
And they're all... So it's bipartisan.
But it's just strange because it says there's a drop in uptake of the vaccine in direct correlation with these news articles. But where was the correlation between internet Facebook activity?
Yeah.
That's
what they're all referencing. That's why there's a letter going out to Facebook that they need to stop and start limiting this stuff.
Yeah.
Because Facebook is social media.
And so I want to show you the conclusion.
Very strange.
Because they have all this stuff and it seems like another barrier is finding a clinic. So they address it in this study that, we should have more clinics. But again, this is a very limited study. It's only in England. So I'm not really sure how it translates to the United States.
Yeah.
Sorry, long study.
No.
Okay, conclusion.
There you go.
Oh, this is another weird thing. They're like, social media. Percent of positive versus negative messages. And again, it adds up to over 100. And it's not really clear what this is even about. Positive and negative or what? And then, let me find my quote.
Yep. Here,
the influence of social media over the public's view on vaccinations is likely to increase. Where was that ever proven in the study? They never asked why people were hesitant to vaccinate in this study, at least not clearly presented here. They never asked, was it, you know, from friends that told them that the vaccine wasn't effective? Because they said that some people felt the vaccine wasn't effective, but they did this for the flu.
The flu vaccine, as we just talked about, is usually 50% effective. So if you're asking about the flu vaccine, well, you're going to get a different answer. You got to specify the vaccine or...
Right. Are they getting this from the mainstream media? Are they getting this from the internet? They didn't ever clarify. Or it could be their friends at school, other moms. I don't know. It doesn't address it.
It's crazy.
And we're not anti-vax.
We're not anti-vaccine. We want to make that clear. Healthy Talk Show is not anti-vaccine. We're just asking questions.
But it's just weird.
And it's weird.
They have another conclusion. This is also funny.
Last conclusion.
I couldn't find it in here, but I have my quote taken out. But it says, we surveyed 2,000 UK adults and over 4 in 5, 82%, which isn't that much more than 4 in 5, agreed that social media platforms should take steps to limit false news regarding vaccines. What?
Just because people say.
We all agree, so let's do it.
Exactly.
But
didn't people used to think the Earth was flat? Wasn't that the majority of people?
Yeah.
They thought that.
At one point.
They were the majority.
Several hundred years ago.
The scientific community thought that.
We all agree.
Okay, I'm just being real. All right.
It was just strange.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we can dive into the letter. But I think that report right there that you just did, the real journalism where you went past... the headlines, you dove into it a little bit. I think that's worth $1 a month, $5 a month. I don't know.
Definitely.
HealthyTalkShow.com/support.
Wait, we didn't talk about the other thing where I try to find stats on measles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we can. So we can go. We can visit the letter. Let's go to the letter first. That he wrote. Oh, wait. Actually, I wanted to show everyone. Have you guys seen, because it's on the letter, have you guys seen Facebook headquarters? It's gigantic.
Dang. Wow. I like how Instagram HQ.
I know. It's right there. Yeah, right here. Just so you're not confused. We're not separate companies or anything.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Somebody, Instagram.
Charging does. Point, charging station.
Instagram has a really clean look, though.
Yeah. All right.
Where is this located?
Menlo Park, California.
Yeah, okay. Menlo Park, wherever that's at. I have no
Crazy.
Idea.
Crazy.
All right. I have the letter from Schiff here, and I want to talk about some things. Do I? Yes. From the letter, I'm not going to highlight it because I can't. It's the way it's a scanned document. It wasn't sent this way.
I like that. There is strong evidence to suggest.
Yeah, I got that. The scientific and medical communities are in overwhelming consensus that vaccines are both effective and safe. There is no evidence to suggest that vaccines cause life-threatening or disabling diseases, and the dissemination of unfounded and debunked theories about the dangers of vaccinations pose a great risk to public health. All right, well, I dispute that, and I'm going to say because. I'm going to plug my own show again. We're plugging HealthyTalkShow.com, episode 3, Can Vaccines Cause Autism? HealthyTalkShow.com/HTS03, where we talked about Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, who was an expert witness for the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, in vaccine court, and he said that vaccines can cause autism in 0.05%, quite rare, very rare percentage,
yeah.
But it's evidence that suggests vaccines can cause life-threatening or disabling diseases. There is evidence out there.
Yeah.
We need to look into the evidence, and then we can eliminate that problem.
Because he said it was only in people with the mitochondrial defect.
Yep.
If that's true, we should just clearly state that. Yep. Doesn't affect very many people. But
yep. Blanket statements are bothersome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about science and facts.
Yeah, we're not anti-vaccine. We're pro-science. And science is about questioning pretty much everything. You have to question. And we should be questioning this. Vaccines should always be researched. Well, and they should be improved.
I would just feel better if they had a better study, too, that actually asked the questions. Or
yeah.
Instead of
the
just...
The ones I need answering. Yeah. Yep. For real.
And then more from the letter, just from Mr. Schiff here. I was pleased to see YouTube's recent announcement that it will no longer recommend videos that violate its community guidelines, such as conspiracy theories or medically inaccurate videos, and encourage further action to be taken related to vaccine misinformation. And I was wondering, who are these big and powerful anti-vaccine groups fighting the all-powerful pharmaceutical industry? I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me, and we just proved that the pharmaceutical industry is funding the studies that...
Yeah.
So I don't know. They have mentioned two misinformation groups in the Guardian article, Stop Mandatory Vaccination and Vaccination Reeducation Discussion Forum. They're not very well funded. One of them is just a Facebook page, and the other one is a crappy website. So I don't know how well funded they are, but, you know, these are the vaccine groups, I guess, that are the anti-vaccine groups that are a danger to public health. So there you go. Just letting you know. Just so baffling to me.
Yeah.
Why we... Information.
We just... Where do you draw the line with, you know, who determines what is good or safe?
Yeah. Who gets to decide?
And that's...
It should be the private company, Facebook. That's always the case. Facebook, Twitter, they can deplatform and kick people off because it's their platform. But now this is the government pressuring a private company to censor.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Why is
for the benefit of private companies, the pharmaceutical industry. It's really weird.
It is really strange.
We gotta keep them separate. Keep them separated.
I say just let the internet be free.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
Is the anti-vaccination movement gaining momentum? I don't know. Ask HealthyTalkShow.com. Let us know.
Yeah.
HealthyTalkShow.com/Discord.
But another weird thing that we might need to revisit in the show, because I wanted to prove easily that, you know, more people died from measles than die from vaccines. But for some reason, that stat is really hard to find.
Yeah. So if you can find the stat on that, we want to find it just so we can say, hey, look, vaccines, look, statistically speaking, you know, we could show some facts here, but we can't even do that.
Well, and it's weird, too, because they bury how many people have adverse effects in the raw data. And I didn't have time to go through the raw data and sift it out because it's from 1990 till the present.
It's a lot of raw data.
Yeah. And yeah. and it all has notes. So you have to try to deconvolute, well, how many people just happened to get in an accident after getting a vaccine and they died? But I feel like someone should have done that, and that should be easy statistics to run. But
yeah. Why hasn't somebody?
Or why isn't it just readily available on the CDC? Very easy. You know, this percentage of people died from measles before we had the vaccine.
We need to get some experts on the horn.
So
we need doctors, get experts. Doctors, call us.
Talk to you. AskAHealthyTalkShow.com. We have a phone number too.
Yes, 509-878-3229. We take calls sometimes.
We want to hear it.
You can leave us a voicemail. Yeah.
We want to hear the science.
Who wants to join the Fediverse with me? I'm promoting this. This is basically the open source alternatives to all of the things that we use. Mastodon is the biggest one. It's supposed to be the replacement for Twitter. All independent, no centralized servers, all ran by the people for the people. It's supposed to be really popular.
We need
Who wants
join.
To help? I'm not social. That's the problem. I'm not a social person. I don't talk.
We can barely run our current Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And because it was 2 days ago. And it's a commercialized day, Valentine's Day. I want to go into that really quick. Got a quick video on the origins. Dark origins, of course. Healthy Talk Show, all about education. The association between mid-February. Oops. You know? VLC, my friend. Oh, yeah, this is going to look really weird, by the way. I can't do anything about this.
Because it's an old video.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's a really old video. Nothing I can do. 1995.
Goes back to a pagan festival known as Lupercalia, likely honoring either Lupa, the she-wolf of Rome, who suckled Romulus and Remus, or Faunus, their god of fertility. The festivities began with an animal sacrifice. Then the ritualistic slapping of young women with strips of the animal's skin and blood to bestow fertility for the coming year. In the 5th century, perhaps in an effort to Christianize the pagan festival, Pope Gelasius declared February 14th as St. Valentine's Day.
There we go. There's another video about it, but I don't like it as much.
Interesting.
In the NPR article I have, The Dark Origins of Valentine's Day, which we're not going to put up, just about killing people and stuff. So, Valentine's Day. I'm not a big fan.
So how did it become chocolates and...
I know.
I don't know.
And money, that's how.
Because we're on Twitch, I have to bring this up. I'm sorry. One more thing, and then we're back. Ninja, the biggest Twitch streamer ever who makes a lot of money. He has toys now. I'm not happy about this. This guy makes so much money already, but now he's going to make more money. I'm very upset.
It's all about buying stuff.
All right. So we have a guest.
It is.
Haley. Yes. Welcome. Sorry. We did not anticipate having such a long headline segment, but we found that vaccine thing and things just blew up. So what are we going to talk about? What's up?
Yeah.
So tell us about you, your journey.
Oh, God.
We're here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's funny. It's been like, let's see. It was May 22nd when I actually moved out here. And
from where?
From Texas.
Yeah.
Little southern gal over here. But yeah, it's kind of like one of those decisions. It's funny now. There's like so much going on all the time that's constantly requiring my effort and attention that I kind of forget about that whole transition from there to here, because obviously in the thick of it, it was a very, very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was kind of just one of those things that I felt incredibly compelled to do. I was working as an apartment leasing agent, making pretty good money where I was in Texas. Obviously, yeah. It's a different world over there, you know, in financial comparisons. Oh, yeah. But I just was not like... I just was not happy with what I was doing. I was making pretty decent money, and I was just in a small town called Crowley that no one out here has ever heard of. So I say Fort Worth when they ask me. but it just, it was a really hard decision because without being able to see kind of what's on the other side of that decision, it can make it very difficult to actually like come to a point of, being sure if you were going to take that kind of action or not. But it, I mean, it was incredibly frightening and terrifying in the moment, but it was also, the best way I could describe it is that it just kept gnawing at me. Like it was something I couldn't deny, that was trying to come into existence and happen because I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't just keep, I just kept picturing myself doing it and like, is this what I want to do? And I sure as heck don't want to stay here doing this forever. And I don't know. It's kind of like once you make that decision, you actually do it. Like getting out here, it's funny. As soon as I got here, it felt so natural almost instantly. And I think that might not happen for everyone, but at least far as California per se. But in pursuit of what they want to do, you kind of have those moments of after you make these decisions, you feel like you're like, okay, that is absolutely what I was supposed to do. And it's kind of like, I don't know, this whole experience that you go through, it's not like anything else for sure. This is my first time moving away from home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have anybody out here. I didn't have any family out here at all.
Wow.
I have, when I came out here, I had one friend.
Oh, well, gosh.
And she was out in Simi Valley and I was living over here in Riverside. So, you know, she was a few hours away from me anyways. So,
yeah,
I kind of just like decided I was going to do this, even if there wasn't going to be anyone else around me. But I think that just, I don't know, when you, I was in a very mundane way of life and I'm a very creative person. I've always been that way since I was very young. The artistic kid in the family for sure. I wish I would have realized my whole entire life that I'm just not the conventional type of person. So I would have spent more time just pursuing things the way I want to and what is good for my life path per se than to be spending all this effort trying to fit into these different things, roles, whether it be school or like this and that of things that weren't actually for me. It was the greatest decision ever to decide to move out here and choose to do what I know is for me. And I really want to encourage people to do that, whatever it might be, if they're, you know, if they want to move somewhere crazy out of state. It's funny, since I've done this and I run into people who are on the brink of moving away from home or somewhere far away, I'm always like, do it.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, so yes. Why California?
Yes.
Sure, totally. Actually, it's funny, that one friend that I have out here, her name is Shelby, and that girl has known me since I was like 14. And I'm now 26. but she had moved to Texas for a while because her father lives out there, actually. And I met her when I was in school. So I met her while I was in Texas, which is crazy. And we became friends and everything. And just the entirety of our friendships, like since the origin stories of our friendship, this woman has been telling me that I should move to California. So it's her that's been dropping it in my ear for literally over a decade. And there was different times in my life where I almost did come out here. But now that I actually have, I realize that, you know, in those moments I wasn't ready or something about just the timing. Timing is crazy. It just wasn't the right time. And that's how, I don't know, this time around back in May, the months leading up to that, I just knew it was different. I could tell that, okay, like, no, this time really do it, like really do it.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best decisions for sure. But she has absolutely been the primary influence for years. Years. Just between the singing and the art and everything, she told me that I would just fit out here and I belonged out here. I would flourish out here. And she was not wrong at all. I've been doing so much more than I was doing in Texas as far as music and the art and just everything. There's so much to draw from inspirationally out here. And I love how progressive everything is. Texas, at least where I was just very stagnant. Like, mm-hmm. it's just kind of like, it's a whole different feel and whole different world. And I've really, really enjoyed my time here so far, and I am not going anywhere. My mom is constantly asking me, you know, anytime it's gotten hard, and I have just in the slightest bit confined in her. I don't typically do that, especially because she's 1,500 miles away, and that's just torture. But yeah, her advice usually is to pick up and come home. And I think that's funny because, I don't know, when you're someone in pursuit of something that's a little outlandish or kind of off the beaten path, per se, and your family are usually going to be the first ones who are like, you know, come home, like, don't keep doing this.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't believe in you or, like, you know, they want you to give up on something. It's just like they're always going to want the safest thing for you. And when you're choosing to, you know, move 1,500 miles across the country, like, with nobody around you and let's see how this goes kind of thing, you know, it's just, it's not the stability that they usually would want for you. So it's kind of like being able to decide on your own in your head, like, no matter what else is going around you, as far as anyone saying, you know, that's probably not something you should do, you probably shouldn't keep doing this, I don't know, if you're following the thing that's, like, really actually meant for you, you'll be able to kind of hold on to those ideas in your head that, you know, okay, I'm pursuing what I love, and I can see the progress that has been made so far by making this decision. I know the more progress that's going to be coming from this, just because, you know, I want it so bad, or I'm working so hard for it. It's kind of like when you make crazy decisions like this, there's a lot of times where you might be one of the only people or one of few who is actually telling you to keep doing it. But I completely encourage people just to, yeah, keep pursuing what makes them excited and what makes them happy. Because it's just like, I could not imagine going back to Texas right now and just being like, okay, cool, that was fun. Like,
going back to the...
Yes, like going mundane. Like, yes, completely. I'm just not, I wouldn't dare. I don't care how crazy or difficult things get out here. I'm like, that's not an option in my brain whatsoever.
Interesting.
Going back. And yeah, it's just like, I would just be jumping back into the same little world I was in before. And I chose to do this not only for the music and the art and the opportunities that would come with that, but just for the, like, the extreme personal growth I knew that I was going to get. Just from, because I was 25, lived in the same place my whole entire life, and moving across the country, I knew would bring a lot of lessons, a lot of things that I would not get to experience if I would have stayed in the same place. So yeah, I encourage everyone to, like, move across the country, quit your wonderful job that pays you so much money that you hate, to go do your dream thing. And, like, yeah, that's pretty much the wavelength that I roll on.
It's the best advice ever.
Yeah.
That is the best advice ever.
Yeah.
Best advice ever. Quit your job if you hate it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, why do you think that last year was a good time? Was it, like, your mindset? Was it just things coming together financially or connections? What was it?
Oh, to come out here?
Yeah.
To make that decision?
Why was that the time?
No, not at all. Actually, it's funny. No, it was quite the opposite. Things weren't going good at all. Like, it wasn't... It wasn't like, oh, I've saved up so much money, let me just move across the country while I'm financially stable and I can do that. I was doing the apartment leasing, like I had said previously, and pretty much, like, my boss got weird with me and creepy, and I ended up not working for, like, the last month that I was in Texas. So I had made this decision, and it came because I was trying to get myself established and settled. I was a student. I was going to school full time. I was going to school, like, up until, like, 4 days before I moved. The semester ended, and then boom, I moved to California.
Wow.
But months prior to that, it's like I had lived with some friends, and that living situation went to heck. I moved in with a random couple that was like 5 minutes from the college, and I was really stoked. This is going to be so much more convenient, blah, blah, blah. They turned out to be closet alcoholics that like fought in the middle of the night and like broke things. So it's just kind of like the thing that pushed me here. It felt to me like it was just a huge wave, just a huge wave from Texas that was like, just go, because nothing was sticking. I kept trying to like make roots per se, and they just kept getting ripped up. And finally I was like, okay, maybe I should stop trying to make stuff happen here, because it seems like it's not going to. And that is really honestly what led to like me being ballsy enough to actually like move over here without having a clue what was going to come of it, because I just felt like it was about the time where, I mean, hippy dippy sounding or not, the universe was like, you're not supposed to be here anymore.
Yeah.
And whenever the whole job thing fell through right before I left as well, of course, you know, I'm like desperately needing money at that moment, because I'm trying to project myself across the country. And yeah, when that fell through, I pretty much just fell on my painting. So I really, really went hard on completing all these paintings that I had not finished. I took some commissions, but pretty much my artwork is what kind of got me here.
That's amazing.
This one right here?
That's one that's in progress right now.
Just showing some Instagram. I don't know if I'm cool to show all your Instagram stuff or not.
Yeah, okay. You're totally fine.
I'll just cycle through it while you're talking.
Yeah, there's on the top of my page, there's actually a link that or a link for my other page that I have just my art portfolio on there. Someone said something there about that to me. It's the Wolf Haley Studio. I need to update it a little bit, actually. Just so you could look at the artwork specifically, and you don't have to filter perfect through all my other stuff.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, it kind of, it was not a flawless timing kind of thing at all. And I think that's funny because, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about making big decisions like this, and they're like, oh, well, it's not the right time. Or, you know, I don't have enough money, or, you know, just kind of like different things that would hold them back from making a decision like that.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that they're
awesome.
Thank you.
That was sick.
That was the last one that I finished before I left. That was a commission.
That's super awesome.
Thanks, man.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
But I found out that like making decisions like this, you don't have to be in the ideal situation. It's not always going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be like you have the most flawless setup to go and make your dreams happen. You kind of sometimes have to just know that even though all these circumstances are harder. Like I took my car in to be maintenance before I came here because I drove. And I wanted to make sure my car was in top condition before I drove 1,500 miles. And when I took it in, they found not one, but two nails in my tires.
Oh, my God.
So I had to all of a sudden, you know, get two brand new tires for my car on top of suddenly not having work. And I'm trying to
get GTFO.
Make money. Yeah. By painting and. Just different things were thrown at me before I left as well. You know, different wrenches. I feel like it's, people think that whenever you go, when you pursue your dreams, it's going to be this like super magical thing all the time, which I've had a lot of instances that were just mind-blowingly amazing. But it's, you just have different challenges is all. It's still just as challenging, if not more, obviously, than if you were to just stay in your own kind of routine of these certain challenges that you're familiar with. But it's just going to be, you just have to expect all these different and new challenges that you have never encountered before, is definitely one of the things that I have been learning in choosing this path, is that you can't really anticipate the challenges that you're going to have, 'cause you've never done this before. And, I don't know, it's kind of like just being able to stick it out and take everything as it comes. And,
yeah.
But it's been a wonderful, awesome experience to me personally. If you, I try to look at everything constructively and as a lesson, even if it is like a unpleasant or unideal scenario. And I think that helps a whole lot as far as when you are trying to like make something out of nothing kind of dreams and just being completely, you have to just kind of be true to that. It's really easy to get lost in all the problems that are coming with, you know, doing something like this.
Yeah.
But you got to like try to recenter yourself and remember why you did it in the first place. And I say that with the most humility because I have to have those moments constantly. So it's I don't know. You'll find yourself just becoming so human like when you choose to do something like this. But I have had some of the greatest experiences. Like my band and I just had our first show the day before my 26th birthday. And it just happened to kind of pan out that way.
Awesome.
So that was like one of the coolest birthday gifts ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, I think about it sometimes. What if I was still in Texas right now? If I never did it.
Yep.
And that to me, I should hope that people would know that, I think this is probably a famous quote by somebody, but like the pain of regret is always going to be worse than any pain that you can encounter by choosing to go and pursue something. Because I definitely, that was one of the kickers for me, is that I knew I would regret it if I didn't do it. Like really regret it.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what was on the other side either. So all these things that I've had so far that have been rewarding, I would have never been able to experience them if I didn't do this. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's been a wild ride, but I'm really excited to see what else is in store because it's only been since May. It's crazy to me to think that like a year is coming up.
Hasn't even been a year yet.
That's no.
You're still short on that year.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been a year yet. Yeah, it's kind of wild, but I definitely am not. I'm like just getting started is what it feels like to me.
What are you looking forward to?
Right now, definitely. I just put down vocals with my band in the studio. So here pretty soon I'll actually have some vocal tracks that, you know, people can actually go and listen to with the band.
Sweet.
So that'll be really awesome. Yeah, definitely trying to get more shows together with them. And right now I'm also very much geared toward, business and trying to be an entrepreneur myself. And, ideally I'm aiming to, you know, create my own income and not have to work for anybody else but myself.
That's a dream.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to do that very aggressively.
Yeah. Same.
HealthyTalkShow.com/support.
Right.
If you want to plug anything,
yes.
Feel free, please.
Yes. Support those who are in pursuit of, you know, what they love. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I wanted to ask you, so how do you keep yourself mentally strong? Because I think a lot of people struggle with that fear of the unknown challenges that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you keep yourself, you know, going and positive when you don't know what challenges you may face?
For sure. I mean, I definitely have, for me personally, I kind of have these like phases of being incapably overwhelmed. And then coming back down off of that and just being like, okay, like you have your little bit of a like emotional freak out and then you allow yourself a little bit and then that's enough. And you just kind of bring yourself down to center you know, try to start taking steps toward what you are trying to achieve. And I think that I've been very blessed here lately because I was mentally seeking kind of like a sensei per se. I was really wanting to, start gearing my thought processes more toward, being able to understand business and entrepreneurship and, you know, 'cause it's not only about doing the whole music thing out here as well. It's also about hustling and, you know, surviving.
Cost of living is very high out here.
Correct. Yeah.
You can't live on your dreams.
No, you cannot. You've got to be logical about it. Yes.
Especially in California.
Yes, you do.
Quadruple the cost.
Yeah.
But, I was very blessed to find this guy who I actually now work for my second job. And he's very much like a mentor for me. So yeah. if you don't really have anyone, or, you know, if you're kind of just relying on yourself, that can get you pretty far. It's gotten me pretty far. Mm-hmm. But there are times where, like, you might need guidance. You might need perspective, which is something I'm constantly seeking and wanting. And, you know, I think life will hand you the people that you need around you to be able to assist you whenever you do have those moments when you're like, okay, what the heck am I doing? Can I do this? Like, it's been nice having him around because, he is very much able to, kind of give me like the steps that I need and the guidance and a perspective that I don't have just because he's had so much more life experience. He moved here actually from New Orleans. So he's also someone who came here and he has flourished. So pretty much I just like follow him with like a notebook and I'm just like, teach me your ways, sensei. And definitely when you have those times of being overwhelmed, it's nice to have people who can guide you a little bit, or even friends just around you to kind of like give you a little bit of support. I'm one of those people. I'm very incredibly prideful. I'm like, I want to do it myself, by myself. I got this, like, no matter what. But, you know, I have had some friends around me lately who have just basically forced their support upon me, and I've been so grateful for it. So it's kind of like, honestly, you can be a one-man show for a while. You totally can, but sometimes it's just nice to have a little bit of guidance or perspective and things like that in those overwhelmed moments because, everyone's human and I feel like you can keep yourself from those moments as much as possible. But sometimes, I mean, when stuff gets just crazy, you can get lost in it really easily. I had a friend recently she expressed to me that like she was having those feelings. Like she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's going on. And I think that like people tend to freak out when they get in those moments because we're supposed to always know what we're doing and what's going on. And I think that's an unfortunate standard because it makes us not feel like it's okay with being in these moments when you don't really know what you're doing. That's totally fine. I've learned just from this whole experience that when you get in those what am I doing moments, it is totally okay. Like you don't have to panic because you don't know what you're doing. You just now need to decide, okay, well, what am I doing? And prioritize as far as, you know, this is the goal I'm trying to achieve. So what are the steps that I need to do to get to that goal? Instead of feeling like ashamed or just like overwhelmed because just on the mere fact that you don't know what you're doing. Life is funny like that. You're it's gonna keep you on your toes.
That's true. I think people forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Curveballs. Especially if you're looking to get out of the norm.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
You have to expect it.
Totally.
You have to expect opposition.
Exactly. I think that's the mindset you need is just to understand, that it's gonna be anticipate the crazy, the unanticipated, because once you get off the beaten path like that, I knew that I was going into a place with, you know, just it was going to be waves of this and that, and it's what I chose though. I think that whenever you do absolutely choose something that's a little bit more off the beaten path, it's going to be more challenging, but you know, it's what makes it great. Yeah. I got to learn all these things and experience all this stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise.
So tell us more about what you've created then this past year and how your experiences have influenced your art or your music.
Oh, for sure. I have done not as much painting as I wish I could have been doing. A lot of those that are posted are from while I was in Texas. There's a few on there that are more recent. The one on my main page, the drum head I painted, you scroll down, you'll see him. He's a reaper on a round drum head. Keep going. There he is, right there on the right.
I can't see.
Oh, down.
Scroll down a little bit more. Boom. Right there. Yeah, that was one that I did.
That's pretty cool.
While I was here. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's kind of like just moving across the country, being uncomfortable. It's really helped me in a lot of ways. That art piece right there, it was really challenging for me deciding to do that. I normally am very much like an abstract expressionist, mm-hmm. Where things are just like color and movement. There's not really necessarily recognizable forms. And, I had to pencil sketch that out first, and it just kind of like, I don't know, there's been a lot of growth, just in a lot of, my artistic areas just from being here for sure. As far as the music goes, I mean, with the band, whenever I auditioned with them, pretty much they just had me select one of their songs, the instrumentals that were already written, and they had me write the lyrics and vocal melody to
dang.
It.
That sounds hard.
I had never done that before. Yeah, I had never done that before because up to that point, you know, whenever I was writing, it was kind of just, you know, I would write a melody. It would come to my head and I would write lyrics kind of together. And, you know, I've never been handed a piece before that was already pretty much half finished and told, here, finish this. So it was very intimidating. It was super challenging. And I feel like at the beginning, I just like, I was holding it like this, like, what do I do? What do I do with it? But after just repetition, I finally started to hear it. And it's like, that's a skill that I have now that I do all the time.
Nice.
So like all the songs that we did record just recently, I wrote them all just like that. So it's definitely been nothing but growth for me as far as all that goes since I got here, just because, the different scenarios I've been in have forced me to learn new ways to do things.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
So what did you end up writing about?
For that first audition song, like that one is always going to be, I guess, pretty special. They're all pretty special just because when I have written them, the lyrics are like really like, genuine, you know, what I'm feeling kind of things. But the first one, it was pretty fresh in my move here. And I was feeling very, I mean, obviously like out of place and challenged and, you know, things are just crazy. I'm trying to establish myself in a new place that I have not been before. And, you know, just make a living and survive and just get things rolling. And it kind of has a lot to do with just soldiering on, basically, in pursuit of those things. And I'm always kind of like the person who feels like I need to be positive for other people. So in that song on the second verse, it's also talking about just like, you know, no matter what goes on or what happens, you know, I'm always going to try to be that light of positivity for other people. It's just, that one song, it's very special just because it was the start of everything as far as the band goes and the start of my journey here. So yeah, they're pretty good stuff.
Yeah, we definitely need more positive influences, positive messages out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of just thought I was a little shy and about my writing at first just because it is so different to what I feel is like mainstream today. It's like more vulnerable and kind of real as far as like just the human condition and like things you might be feeling or just it's just very vulnerable. And I hope that people can kind of relate to it. I think that maybe there's probably been times in their lives where, you know, they feel a certain way. Hopefully they'll hear something that they could relate to. But yeah, so those will be done soon, mixed and mastered and all that. And I'll be able to send them over and you guys can hear them.
Yeah. Where can we check?
Yeah.
The band
when
out?
Do they drop?
Yeah.
For when those right drop? Now, hopefully here pretty soon. I know we have one of the five tracks completed.
Here's your Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you can go to my page. The band page is right there on the top as well. The band is called Odd Heart.
Odd Heart Band.
Yes. And you can go on there. There's some shots from our last show. Yeah, it was really, really good. Those guys are amazing.
Looks sweet.
You guys has great hair. Wow.
I know. Yes.
Clean.
He does. Yeah. Great, great group of guys. I couldn't have been just more grateful to find them.
Cool.
Yes.
So what artists influence you the most, you would say?
You know, it's funny. The band asked me that actually whenever I did audition with them. And for the band itself, everyone loves Deftones. Everyone is all about Deftones. And that's kind of like the band influence a little bit. Me personally, whenever they asked me this question back in, let's see, it was like September-ish, I think, whenever I did audition for them. I kind of like, it's funny, I was very lacking as far as a musical education when I was younger, as far as musical influences go, just because my parents were so... My dad didn't really have much of a musical influence on me, and my mom, the only musical influence she had was like Dolly Parton, Conway Twitty, and Celine Dion. So I pretty much grew. I think I got most of my good musical taste whenever I moved out of my mother's house, and I was like 18, 19 years old finally. But my childhood and my teens, whenever I was like really, really in tune with my musical side, I would just sit in my room and, you know, play some stuff on my keyboard and just write and sing. And I don't really have like a bunch of influencers that I think of whenever I do my stuff. I just kind of do me. And it's kind of a weird thing, I feel like, because, you know, 9 times out of 10 people have, you know, oh, this person has influenced me and this artist has influenced me. And there are some artists like modern ones now that I'm like, OK, you know, that'd be really cool to be in association with this person or to collab with this person or things like that. But as far as what I write, it's just like... it's just 100% Haley, really, honestly, which could either be like really, really well liked or really not well liked. So it's kind of just, I don't know. It's just always been that way for me. I don't know if it's just because I had such a conservative, confined background. It just, I don't know.
Small town in Texas.
Yes, honey. Totally.
But I love it, though. I love how genuine you are. Like in your expression, that's really important.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I definitely want to be an ambassador for that, that people would just feel completely comfortable being their genuine selves.
Yeah, that's very, you and I are going to talk offline.
Hopefully so.
There's something I can't talk about on stream right now, but.
So I guess what's next for you then? What are your other goals, accomplishments you want to do?
For sure. Yeah, life's a little wild right now. Yeah, it's kind of like I just finished having some of those like overwhelming, oh my gosh, what is happening kind of days. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point where like I've recollected and I'm doing everything here. But right now... my sensei per se, Joel, one of my bosses, he's helped me build a website. And I am going to start trying to make money by doing session vocals as well. I've been approached by a couple of just people I know who asked me to do a couple of projects. I really didn't think anything of it because I've been investing so much energy and time into the band.
Yeah.
It takes a whole lot, especially with, how I've had to been playing catch up with the writing because they had X amount of instrumentals already written. They're still writing now. And I'm like, got to go back here and write all this and then catch up to where they're at. But I definitely am trying to kind of move more toward that. You know, like I said, kind of being able to generate my own income.
Yep.
That's a huge thing that's on the table for me right now. That's, you know, it's just as important as everything else that's going on, like the music. You know, I definitely, the guys and I have been talking about trying to book our next show. Just performing more.
Twitch.
Perform
on Twitch.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Live performance on Twitch.
Like the whole set.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really not a bad idea at all. I'll have to talk to them about it.
Might be able to, I don't know if we could fit in here, but if we get that $300 goal, we can get some long cables. Right. $300 tip goal.
Heck yeah.
You could even paint on stream and
totally
do anything. Yeah.
So if you guys want to support her,
the community's great on Twitch. Follow her on Instagram. Thanks.
Yeah,
yes,
please. I would appreciate it. Yeah. Just trying to kind of like find my feet and all that is really where I'm at. Yep.
Well, cool. We're at an hour, so we're good on time.
Cool.
We can kill the...
I was just going to say, any last things that you want people to remember you by or the most about you?
Oh, dang. I mean, honestly, I probably just that, like, on my Instagram page up there, it has all my stuff, blah, blah, blah. But in caps, I have always be kind. It's just kind of like a way that I feel like more people should operate. I mean, like, you know, Ellen's be good to everybody, that whole thing. It's just kind of like... it's amazing how all these different experiences have really brought me in tuned with who I really am as a person. And I just really feel like it is music, art aside, everything. Like the sole purpose for me is to just be able to influence people to do what makes them happy, to hopefully make people feel like they can relate to somebody. And that whatever they're having to handle or go through or deal with in their life, whether that be like, you know, like an obstacle in pursuit of what they love, or like, maybe someone suffers from insane depression and they're trying to, you know, live their life dealing with that. I just really, really want to be just a completely positive beacon of light for people. And I think that, more people should operate with kindness and empathy. And I think like the whole no man left behind thing is like a lot of the way that I operate. I don't know. I think that, people should just really, really just be more real and
be kind.
Yes.
Yeah, and our slogan's love and light. So
yes, you know, I did see that in the email tag and I was like, I think this is going to be great.
It's how we roll.
Love and light.
Yes.
I love it.
Totally.
Cool. Well, I think we're done. Are we done?
Yeah.
We
let's end it on that positive note.
Positive
perfect.
Note. We
love and light
show,
to everybody.
Love and light. HealthyTalkShow.com. Yes. Please check out her Instagram.
Thanks, Haley's guys.
Instagram. We'll have it in the show notes.
Can we talk
for
about
you
that
guys?
Microphone picture? It should be a howl in that microphone picture.
Oh, I know.
Just throwing that in there. Just throwing that out for you.
There's like veins sticking out of my neck in that one. I'm like, dude.
All right. Have a good night, everyone. Love and light.